Hi there, just a quick message before we get started. As we move forward with the podcast, we would like to give you the opportunity to participate in various challenges that are exciting and affordable. This month, we are offering a 21-day meetings challenge that gives you all the key tools that you need to participate at a higher level in your English meetings, such as agreeing, clarifying, disagreeing, making suggestions, and interrupting. All the essential stuff. So if you're interested in getting to the next level with your English meetings, click the link in the show notes and sign up free to the wait list. The link will only be available until the 27th of May. So make sure you don't miss out. Okay, now let's get on with the show. Welcome to episode 56 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about what it means to be worse for wear, what happens when something wears out, the difference between working hard and hardly working, and what it means when you say that you are wearing your birthday suit. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone! Today we're going to be talking about a few interesting expressions, maybe a little bit unusual expressions, but they certainly will be useful if you interact with native speakers, because sometimes these sort of different types of native speaker expressions can be quite confusing. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, Daniel. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but to be honest, that's kind of just a polite way of expressing it, to be honest, because I'm a little bit worse for wear. And this is kind of... I'm a bit worse for wear. And this is the first expression that we want to cover, right, Alistair? Worse for wear. Yeah.
Worse for wear, yes. So wear, well, you usually wear clothes, no? Shoes, wear whatever kind of clothes. But then you have this expression, worse for wear.
Yeah.
So you're feeling worse for wear. Now, nothing to do with... wearing clothes or not wearing clothes. No, I don't think so. There's no connection.
No, that will come to at the end of the episode.
We will come to
there is a there is a connection there.
There is a connection to wear.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But when we say worse for wear, we kind of basically just saying that we kind of don't feel great. It's a little bit like feeling under the weather, but not quite, right? Because under the weather is a little bit more related to the fact that you might have a cold or whatever, right? But worse for wear is more related maybe to how you're feeling physically, like maybe something
very tired could be exhausted.
Or you might have a problem with your knee or your shoulder or something like that, right?
Like an injury from playing sport or something like this
that's ongoing.
It's causing you problems. Absolutely. Just one thing to say that the wear is not where are you. So it's not where, it's where, W-E-A-R, like to wear clothes, as we mentioned before.
Yeah.
So the pronunciation is the same, obviously.
Yeah. So I'm feeling worse for wear. In particular, this is kind of a little bit funny, but my heel on both my feet is hurting me quite a lot. So I'm feeling worse for wear and I can hardly walk. And then we'll come on to that in a minute.
So you could say your heels are your Achilles heel, literally in this case.
That's true. Talon de Absolutely. Achilles. That's right, yeah.
Your weakness is an Achilles heel, and in this case, is literally your heel.
That's right.
The back part of your foot. And
absolutely.
So what's the problem?
Well,
hardly walk?
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what the problem is yet. I need to get it checked out. But diagnosed.
Sounds serious.
When you can't hardly walk, it's a bit tricky, right? But anyway, we'll come on to hardly in a minute. because worse for wear is the first one we want to focus on. But then there are other expressions with wear, right? So worse for wear, I'm feeling worse for wear. Yeah, that's you're not feeling great. But then there's other types of expressions with that word wear, right? And one of them is wear and tear, right? Wear and tear. So what does that mean, Alistair?
Wear and tear. Yeah, it's a strange expression when you sort of think about it, you know, wear and tear. So I suppose you could say, so what does tear mean? Again, a spelling, T-E-A-R, tear. And this is interesting, just occurred to me now. You can pronounce this word in two ways.
You can.
And depending how you pronounce it, you change the meaning. So in this case, we're pronouncing T-E-A-R as tear, which I think in Spanish is rasgar. It's like to break a piece of paper, for example.
Yes.
You would tear the paper in two, for example. But you could pronounce it. So when you see it written on a piece of paper, you don't know without a context if it's tear or tear.
That's right.
So tear is lágrima. But in this case, it's not lágrima. It's not tear. It's wear and tear.
Yes.
And it's an expression which means, for example, let's think about wear and tear. Well, at the moment, we talked in the past about every cloud has a silver lining.
Yeah.
Which people can go back to and look for in the podcast episodes. Yeah. And that expression for me with the pandemic has been a case of every cloud has a silver lining. So I used to drive a lot in my job, going from place to place, company to company in Madrid, giving classes face to face, physically.
Sure.
And now I work completely remotely from home. Mm-hmm. So I'm not using my car as I used to. I used to do thousands of kilometers, maybe 30, 35,000 kilometers a year. Now that is producing a huge amount of wear and tear on my car.
Yeah.
My car in general, on the engine, particularly on the tires, so that pneumáticos, the wear and tear meant maybe I had to, you know, replace my tires and buy new ones, which are not cheap. I don't know, every 40,000 kilometers, for example, which I could do in a year and a half,
sure,
or less. Now I'm not using my car, only the weekends.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot less wear and tear on my car in general, and particularly on the tires.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't need to change my tires for years because I'm not using my car very much. So there isn't a lot of wear and tear on the tires, for example.
Yeah.
Because maybe now 40,000 kilometers, it would take me, I don't know, 5 years to do that.
Yeah.
So there's the meaning of wear and tear. I don't know if there's any other examples you can think of.
Yes. Well, I mean, it can. I mean, in that particular case, obviously, it's related to a car, and often it is related to some sort of machinery of some kind, right? Mm. So, as I said, it could be a car, but it could be some
machine
sort of,
in a factory. Yeah. It's the continuous use of something functioning.
Yeah,
you have a gradual. What's the word you used when we were preparing this? You came up with a good word.
Well, it can wear out. Obviously, it can wear out. Yes.
Well, this is also interesting, isn't it? That wear and tear is the process. Well, in Spanish would be desgaste,
desgaste,
desgastar. Yeah. So gradually, with this process of wear and tear, you will arrive to the moment with the tires on your car where they have worn out completely. So that's like the end of the process. The tires are worn out, desgastados, and you need to change them.
Yeah.
So that's the point where you cannot continue using them because they're dangerous.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But I was trying to think of another word that you used that explains that process. Well, we'll think of it in a minute. It will come to us.
So kind of like three different expressions there. Worse for wear, which is kind of what I'm feeling because my feet are not great. Then you have wear and tear, which is kind of when something is continuously used and slowly, bit by bit, deteriorates.
Deteriorates, right? That's the word.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh. Naturally.
A process of deterioration.
Yes. And of course, the deterioration can also be related to the value of a car, which is depreciation, which is like as a different concept. But
they're connected because obviously a car will depreciate in value precisely because of using it.
Absolutely.
And putting a lot of kilometers. So therefore, the wear and tear causes, or I suppose one is a result of the other, no? Through wear and tear, your car will depreciate in value.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the last one is a little bit of a phrasal verb, which is basically to wear out, okay? So the tires are worn out. What do you need to replace on your car? Well, the tires are worn out, so I need to replace them. That's for sure,
because they're dangerous. Yeah, I need new tires. The old ones are worn out.
Yeah.
Your people can also be worn out.
They can, yes.
Yeah, so if you say, I'm worn out. So by working, you're working very hard, a lot of hours, and you feel exhausted, I suppose, no? Agotado. So when you're very, very tired, you're exhausted because you've been doing a lot of activity, whether it's playing sport or working very hard. So similar to the tires, no? Being used.
Yeah.
You are worn out. You say, oh, I'm worn out. It's the same as saying I'm exhausted, basically.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in this case, you're not going to exchange yourself for a new one. We wish we could sometimes, no?
Maybe in the future.
Yeah, we can just replace ourselves with a new version.
A new body.
A new body. Yeah, I need a new body. My body is worn out after 50 years of being alive.
That would be quite good, wouldn't it?
It would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes, a new body, please.
We're not quite there yet, but no. Who knows in the future. One day.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, so those are three different sort of expressions with the word wear, right? Mm-hmm. Wear. But they all come from that original idea, which is worse for wear, which is kind of what I'm feeling. And then kind of in terms of my actual inability to do anything because of this problem, the real consequence is that I can hardly walk. Now, this is kind of an interesting expression, right, Alistair? To hardly do something, because it can be a little bit confusing. In this case, I'm saying I can hardly walk, which basically means apenas puedo andar, no? But
so you can almost not walk.
That's right.
Can only walk a little bit, but it's painful.
Exactly.
So you can't walk very far. So I suppose you're okay just about moving around the house, but you're not going to go for a 10-kilometer hike in the mountains, are you?
That's
because you can hardly walk.
Yes. And this is an important one to discuss, right? Because there is in many cases, you kind of like, you might think, oh, like, you know, some Spanish speakers might say, oh, I hardly work. That's the expression, right? Mm. I hardly work. Now, in their mind, they're thinking that they're really working very hard. They want to express that idea that que trabajan mucho, no?
Trabajo mucho, no? Duramente.
Yeah. But the idea that they're expressing there, when I say I hardly work, is almost the opposite, right? It's basically that I don't do any work at all, very much.
Yeah, or very little work. So I'm very lazy. Apenas trabajo, no?
Yeah.
Casi no trabajo.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to say one thing and you're actually accidentally saying almost completely the opposite.
Absolutely.
So I've had that situation with some clients and it's quite funny. You have to sort of say, no, you don't want to say that. People get the wrong idea thinking you're, you know, bago, no? Lazy.
That's right.
Because obviously, adverbs in English, usually you have the ly, you know, like quickly, etc. No, so you do something very quickly.
Yeah.
So this often the ending in Spanish with mente is translated in English with li, you know, quickly.
Yes.
Now, where's the problem? It doesn't always work. You have irregular adverbs, and hard is the adjective hard, and the adverb is also hard. So it's the same word.
Exactly.
It doesn't change.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could say, my job is very hard. I work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the adjective and the adverb.
Yeah.
But if you say hardly is a completely different word. Nothing to do with duro, hard, strangely.
It is a bit strange, that.
So it means casi nunca or apenas.
That's right.
Therefore, if you say I hardly work, you're saying that casi no trabajo, no? Apenas trabajo.
Yeah.
So you need to be very careful. Listeners need to be careful with that.
Yeah.
So that is an irregular adverb. I mean, there are some, not many, but there are two or three words that function in this way. For example, fast. So you say, I have a very fast car, adjective. Mm-hmm. I drive very fast, adverb. So again, fast is an adjective and an adverb.
Yeah.
We don't say I drive fastly. Quickly, yes. That's okay, but not fastly, doesn't exist.
It's kind of interesting there because that's the way you pronounce that word fast is kind of different to the way I pronounce it.
Oh yeah,
because we didn't discuss this before, but it's kind of it's kind of an interesting one though. Just to quickly cover it because
often a tangent.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Because I think that is probably one of the differences between the north and the south, the way that people pronounce that. Wouldn't you say? Because
some
people say
to
fast
raise this issue for a
and
long
fast,
time.
You know.
Yes, I've talked about this with a lot of clients because I think it's quite interesting that when we met for the first time, so we both have relatively neutral accents, and I think we have mentioned this that you're from Bournemouth. Bournemouth doesn't particularly have an accent that anybody
really
would recognize.
Sure,
I'm from Liverpool, which does have a very, very strong, recognizable accent. I think we spoke about Scouse, no?
Yeah.
A Scouse accent. So somebody from Liverpool is a Scouser.
Yes.
But I don't have that accent. I've lost it a long time ago.
Sure.
So when we first met, you would not immediately recognize that I'm from Liverpool because I do not have a Scouse accent anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have no idea where you were from, particularly like a particular city.
Yeah.
Like Bournemouth, for example.
Yeah, no idea.
However, from probably within, who knows, seconds or a minute or two, I would recognize that you're from the south of England.
Yeah.
And you would recognize I'm from the north of England.
Yeah. Now, I suppose so. I don't know whether...
Not Scotland, not Ireland, not Wales, not America. This is a different thing with a totally different accent. So we both recognize we're both English. That's very clear for many reasons that we, you know, too long to explain. Obviously, we're both English. We're not Scottish and we're not American or Australian. So, but where are we from in England? So we're talking about England, not the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, oh, Daniel. So if you said... I have a fast car. I go, oh, you're from the south. Yeah. And I'd say, I have a fast car. And you'd say, fast, you're from the north. And I think there's a city in England that is in the southwest of England.
Oh, yeah.
And simply the name of the, pronouncing this city would immediately give away your geographical location within England.
All right.
So I don't know if you know the city. It's famous for its Roman... How would
I know this one.
It's
I
in Somerset.
I know it. It's a very nice one. It's a very nice,
it's a beautiful
place.
City.
It is. Actually, fantastic. I went there. City. I went there a few years ago, and I was really impressed. Really, really impressed. Yes, I really loved it a lot. Oh yeah. Okay. So go on then. Okay. So shall I tell you how I would pronounce it?
Yeah, you tell me first.
I would say Bath.
Yes, and I would say Bath. So I would say, Bath is a beautiful city with the fantastic Roman baths, which is why it's called Bath, that are still functioning. You can visit them.
Yeah.
And
you would
say Bath.
Bath, yeah.
And here is immediately, I would know you're from the south of England. I don't know where exactly.
Yeah. Sure.
But definitely, or southeast maybe, because southwest, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure if people from Bath say Bath or Bath.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't really know, to be honest. People from London, people from South Coast, Bournemouth, etc., Brighton. So the sort of southeast, shall we say? Definitely people, London and, I don't know, 150-kilometer radius maybe or a bit more. It's hard to say exactly where. Obviously, I always think about this. When you move north from London, you must come to a point somewhere, I'm not sure where exactly, in the Midlands around Birmingham, where it changes, where you could maybe go a few kilometers to a village where they say Bath and a few kilometers north they say, no, the other way around, sorry, they say Bath. Now, I'm not quite sure where that point is, somewhere around the Midlands, Birmingham, and it is quite strange. So yeah, we can immediately recognize where we're from, not exactly where we're from, but if you're from the north or the south of England, we have to emphasize, not... not the rest of the English-speaking world.
Absolutely. Yeah, super interesting one. I don't know, that's kind of complete tangent, but I just noticed when you were talking about fast and the way you say it, I would say fast.
Well, class, you often talk about English classes and I would say English class.
Oh, that's true.
So it's like class, fast, bath,
it's that A sound,
master,
isn't it?
Ask. Yeah. So you would, how would you say... So I'd say ask a question. How would you say it?
Ask a question.
Ask a question. Now, it doesn't... Now, it's interesting because for Spanish speakers... So I pronounce the A like Spanish people pronounce la A española.
It's
exactly
true.
The same.
That's true.
So they would say baño and I say bath. It's exactly the same A sound.
Okay.
So for Spanish speakers, it's much easier to speak like a northerner, a person from the north of England.
That's true. I never thought about that. That's true.
I've thought about this a lot. Well, I've thought about it. It's come up in conversations with, with people.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas you know, most Spanish people, if a Spanish person had learned their English maybe in London, Brighton, Bournemouth, maybe they might pick up this Bath laugh. There's another one. You see, I laugh at a joke and you would laugh at a joke.
That's right.
So
I guess my A sound is a little bit more complex to get to grips with. No,
it's I think it's more difficult.
Tricky.
It's not anti-natural to a Spanish speaker to say la, because they have the A the same as me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting. So from now on, our listeners, if they're listening to anything in the BBC or a podcast or whatever it may be, or watching a film, listen for this difference and see if. If you can identify this,
I mean that's a good, that's an interesting question in itself. Like, what would the BBC pronunciation be? Like,
well, the classic received pronunciation, as they call it, RP, which is considered the sort of, I don't know, the correct, maybe not correct, but the standard BBC English.
Yes.
Which in Spanish would be sort of like the Castellano from Valladolid, Salamanca,
of course,
no? Castilla,
yeah.
The equivalent. would be the how you pronounce it.
It is, yes. It's
so
like
classically, a BBC radio presenter or TV news would say fast, laugh, class. but not these days.
It kind of sounds strange when you say it, even to
yeah,
me.
If I say it, doesn't sound natural. When you say really it, sounds... Weird. Yeah, yeah. But so anyway, really gone off on a tangent here.
Yeah, this is true. This is a kind of interesting one anyway. Yeah. But basically, what we're saying here is that most Spanish speakers, if they really pronounce a little bit like quite naturally, they're more likely to sound like a northerner. That's what we're coming. That's the conclusion, right?
Yeah, a northerner from England. Yeah.
That's right.
But I think it's very interesting, this. I can't really think of an equivalent. The only thing I can think of in Spain when I tried to give a sort of example, but it's not really the same, is, you know, people from Andalusia, that there's something that, even if they don't have very much of an Andalus accent, when they don't pronounce the S at the end of their words,
oh yeah, sure,
you'd immediately go, oh, you're from Andalusia. It's like it's like a giveaway sign that immediately indicates a sort of geographical location.
That's true.
Perhaps is the nearest equivalent. So people from the south of England, so Andalusia is the south of Spain. As soon as you say fast, I go, oh, you're from the south. I know immediately where you're from. Not, but I wouldn't know if you're from London, from Bournemouth.
You can't pinpoint me.
I can't pinpoint your precise location.
That's right.
But I do know you're from the south. And you would say, Ali, you're obviously a northerner. You must be from the north. But where are you from exactly?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a Manchester accent.
No, it's very neutral. It's very neutral.
It's very neutral northern, and yours is neutral southern.
Yes.
I suppose we could
absolutely
say.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we've gone way off the point now. But,
we were talking about those adverbs, weren't we? We're talking about those.
Irregular kind of like, adverbs.
Absolutely. And you gave that example of fast. And so that's where I kind of suddenly noticed. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about the difference between, you know, hardly working or I work hard. You know, that's very opposite meanings, completely opposite, and make sure that you kind of get it very clear in your mind. You don't want to speak to your boss and you want to say to him very, very clear. You don't want to say this, I hardly work. You know, that's really not what you want to say.
Yeah, if you say to your boss, yesterday, last week I hardly worked, you go, wow, what were you doing?
Watching Netflix all day, you know?
Yeah, like, were you internet in the office looking at your Facebook page?
So yeah, be very careful with that. You want to say, I've been working very hard.
Very hard.
Very, very hard. Like day and night, basically. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's be careful. I hardly work means basically casi nunca apenas, right? Mm. So that's really important. Now, I could have said like I hardly can walk, which is true, but I can also say I can barely walk, right? That's another alternative. Like, I can barely walk. Now, this is actually the actual meaning is exactly the same, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like apenas casi, you know, apenas casi.
Casi no puedo andar.
No puedo, yeah, exactly.
Apenas puedo andar.
Yeah.
But so, I could say to you, Daniel, if I wanted to be a bit funny, I'd say, so are you walking around the house naked or what? Mm-hmm. Or barefoot with no shoes and socks on, or with nothing on at all, with no clothes on.
That's right. Because like, well, you'd kind of be playing with my words there, wouldn't you? Because
to play on words.
Yeah, because obviously when you say I can barely walk, it basically means that I can't. So it's absolutely fine to use it like that, right? But of course, you have this word bear there included. So
Which is not an osso. And here we get again to so B-A-R-E, not B-E-A-R. So unfortunately in English, this is a big problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I say bear, if you just see, well, if you see it written, you know which one it is because it's spelled differently.
Yeah.
So it's not like tear and tear. Mm-hmm. But if you just say the word, we go, well, are you saying an animal, a bear, or are you talking about you're walking around the house in bare feet?
Yes.
Is it descalzado, I think.
Yes, yes,
so without
that's right.
shoes and socks in bare feet.
Barefoot. Yeah, bare feet.
So bear is similar to naked. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's naked, they're not wearing any clothes, no?
That's right. That's right, exactly.
So there could be a point of confusion if you say to somebody, I can barely walk, barely, bare? Like,
that's true, yeah.
They're naked?
Could, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, it could be confusing
or
if you don't
or
know.
A bear.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. It's true. And there's a whole range of different pronunciation issues there because like the whole idea of bear or beer or beard, that's another day. That's another
that
day.
That could be for a whole other podcast or YouTube. Now we have a YouTube channel, as many people
absolutely,
know.
Yes. Go and check that out, everybody.
Check our YouTube channel. There are, I think, 4 videos at the moment are uploaded.
Yeah.
And that could definitely be, the pronunciation. Yeah, that bear, beard yeah. bird.
Yes.
Is yes. really difficult for yeah. for anyone, for well, for non-native speakers and yeah. Spanish speakers maybe in particular, I don't know.
Yeah,
they're the ones we hear, so we hear their problems with those words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is very.
But that's
tricky.
Another topic for another.
That's day. Another topic. Yeah, we're talking about bear here. So yeah, but not the oso. So bear, as in, so you need to understand that you know barely is the meaning of barely. So I can barely walk. Okay, so that's really important to understand. No puedo andar, más o menos, okay. right?
Yeah. So you have extreme difficulties walking.
Yeah.
You almost can't walk. You know?
That's right. That's
so
right.
therefore, so nothing to do with bare. So you yeah. may be, I mean, you may be trying to walk around the house with bare feet, mm-hmm. meaning you're not wearing shoes and socks. But in this case, well, that's irrelevant. The point is you can barely walk, whether that's with right. shoes and socks on or not. It that's makes right. no difference.
That's right.
You're in
that's
great right. pain when you try to walk, I believe. Yeah.
So maybe we could give a few examples of this, like something that you barely do. Like you mentioned that you barely go to the cinema, really, these days, Alistair.
Yeah, yeah, I barely go. Well, to be honest, I never go to the cinema.
All
but
right, okay, there you go.
If I went very, very occasionally, perhaps, I don't know, once a year, mm-hmm. I could say these days I barely go to the cinema. So once a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't go. It's expensive. I prefer to stay in my sofa,
yeah.
comfortable in my house with a glass of wine, watching a series or a film in Netflix. It's much sure. more comfortable. I can sure. stop it, go yeah. to the toilet, make a cup of tea. If I miss something, I can rewind it and listen again.
Yeah.
So for yeah. me, going to the cinema is not very convenient. It's quite expensive. I don't like the film, and I've spent whatever it costs these days.
Yes.
So so in reality, I never go, but I
you
could
never
say
go, no.
I barely go to the cinema. So
that's right.
Or maybe once in a blue moon, there's an expression. I go yes. to the cinema once in a blue moon.
That's right.
Because how often is the moon blue? Well, really never, but you're saying is not very often.
That's right. And basically, these are adverbs of frequency, and we're kind of like at the bottom of the frequency here. Basically,
yeah, right.
you're
it's
kind
the
of
next
like
step up from never.
That's right. That's right.
It's
exactly.
Barely,
so
hardly.
I never go to the cinema, or I barely go to the cinema, yeah. or I hardly go to the cinema. Yeah. Right. So it's all.
And
of
then
those
from there would be what sort of now and again, yes. de vez en cuando, or sometimes.
Yeah.
So you know
yeah.
you're going up a scale of frequency.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
which hopefully
you, Daniel, is anything that you barely do these days or hardly do?
What do I barely yeah. do? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure.
Now, maybe now with having kids, there are things that maybe you used to do a lot in the past.
Oh yeah.
That
yeah.
now is very difficult to do, perhaps.
Yeah, I barely I used to travel a lot by myself, for example. Oh. I used to travel, you know, like I was kind of I love traveling, and I still, I love traveling, and I still love traveling, but these days
used to do it alone. No?
Yeah, I used to do it alone. So now I barely travel alone now, although I would still like to do it, but, you know, it's just a little bit more difficult because of all of
obviously.
The, you know.
With kids.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's so, a good yeah. example. No, you barely travel alone. So very now and again, occasionally, but not very
yeah.
often.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe only for work, like when you went to Poland and you got ripped off by the
That's right.
taxi driver.
Yes.
So there you were traveling alone, but it was work. So
yes.
it wasn't a holiday.
No, so. That's right. That's right. And so kind of, yeah, there we go. There we've got a few really interesting expressions all related to the fact that I'm a little bit worse for wear. But we thought we'd kind of finish this episode with another really interesting expression, which is kind of all related to that bear issue that we were talking about before, right?
Yes.
And this is kind of you've discussed this a few times with your clients, right? This particular expression.
It's funny. It's a nice yeah. expression, and it's quite
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
And it confuses people completely.
It does, doesn't it? It does.
So when I sort of made that silly comment playing with words about, oh, you're walking around the house naked then, bare,
yeah.
no,
yes.
with no clothes on, I could have said, so you walking around the house in your birthday suit, Daniel?
Yes.
As a joke, because I know you're not, but
yeah.
you might be, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, exactly.
Now your birthday suit, now, yes. if you say that to a non-native speaker, a Spanish speaker, they would think birthday suit, traje de cumpleaños.
Yeah.
Ah, you're wearing your best suit, your most elegant clothes, no?
Absolutely.
Dressed very well.
Yeah.
And in fact, no, it's completely the opposite. You're not wearing anything at all.
You're not wearing anything.
But why
right.
why would that be, Daniel, your birthday
yeah.
suit?
It's kind of it's a really interesting one, right? Because basically it's kind of very logical in many ways, right? Because on your birthday, the day that you were born, what were you wearing? Well, yeah, basically,
when you came into this world, what were you wearing?
You were wearing nothing, right? You were wearing nothing. And so that is basically your birthday suit, right? And yeah.
The problem is people, quite rightly, the translation of birthday is cumpleaños.
Yeah.
You have a birthday party, you celebrate your birthday. It's my birthday today. But the word birthday actually means birthday, the day of your birth. So it's Día de Nacimiento.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So, of course, if you say traje de nacimiento, ¿qué es? Nada. Is nothing.
Exactly.
You're desnudo, no? And there's the confusion because people think, traje de cumpleaños. Oh, you're wearing your best, your nicest, most elegant suit for your birthday.
Yeah.
No, completely the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So if you were walking around your house bare or naked, you would be wearing your birthday suit. So nothing at all.
That's a really good one. And I mean,
it's a nice expression.
It is a nice expression. Yeah. I don't know. It's like the, I don't know whether people will hear it very often, to be honest.
No, but it's not that common, but it's not very common. Everyone knows it.
Everybody knows it. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody knows it.
Is another question.
Native speakers do use it quite, you know, from time to time. So yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's an interesting one to know.
I've just thought that when this has come up in coaching sessions with clients, I just remembered, actually, there is a good translation for this to Spanish.
Oh, really? Okay.
That you would use it in. So if in Spanish someone was trying to say en pelotas.
Oh, yeah.
Then the translation of that, or one, well, obviously you could say naked.
But yes.
A more interesting or funny translation of en pelotas would be in your birthday suit.
That's so true. For example, it's much better. So I think it's a much better translation,
it's a much better
it?
Or yeah, funnier. It is. Or,
yeah, yeah.
Well, it shows a very good level of English because, well, a very... your knowledge of colloquial English of expressions would be, wow, you know that expression.
Yeah,
your English is incredible.
Absolutely.
So I think somebody was trying to give an example of that they opened the door to, they had an Amazon delivery.
Yeah.
And they just woken
and
up.
And they were in pelotas.
And they were in pelotas when they opened the door, giving a bit of a shock to the delivery person. Yeah. Now, in that situation, if you were describing that in English, you may well use the expression, the other day, you know, I forgot that I woke up and I was half asleep. I opened the door to the Amazon guy and I was in my birthday suit. I was wearing my birthday suit and people would understand you immediately.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That is a good point. That's a good point because it wouldn't have the same, if you just translated that to naked, it wouldn't have the same feeling, right? Because in Spanish, yeah, it's a very specific type of expression, right? When you say, you know, is that en pelotas? You know, it's like, it's particularly, yeah, I don't know, it's quite, I don't know, there's got a certain type of feeling about that type of expression.
Feel to it, yeah.
And
yeah, because you don't say desnudo. Well, you could say desnudo, but you probably wouldn't in that situation telling a story.
No.
And a Spanish speaker would, I think, 99 times out of 100 say en pelotas.
That's right.
And so if you want to get that equivalent sort of feeling, if you like, or colloquial type or informal expression, then birthday suit would be the perfect one. Said, the other day it was so embarrassing. I opened the door to the Amazon guy in my birthday suit.
Okay, well, maybe that should be the title for this episode. The best way to translate pelotas, you know, en pelotas.
Está en pelotas. Because we were trying to think of how can we... Because this episode has gone all over the place on tangents with many different things. So you were quite worried about
that's true. It's true.
It could be the one. Or why it you could be the one. The door in your birthday suit. Or
that's right. Something like that. Let's see. We'll see.
People,
anyway.
You'll know when people are listening to this, they will
decided. Absolutely. Fantastic. Alistair, amazing. Really fantastic as usual. Loved that. We went all over the place. Como se dice en inglés?
All over the show. You can also say is an expression.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it was really amazing. Really enjoyed it. So thank you very much for your time. And we'll be back next week. All right.
Yeah, cheers.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.